City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
You are listening to the Windy City Queer Cast. This is show number 124, and my name is Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter. Hello. Is Amy Matheny.
How are you, love?
I'm very good. It's so nice to have you back here with us in jolly old US of A.
It's quite lovely to be home.
It's so lovely to have you. I missed you ever so much. I was just, you know, I was just looking at all these twats that I kind of had to do shows with, and it was just, you know...
A bit painful.
It was just not nice.
A bit painful. Okay, yes. I have to drop this because I'm going to go from common to toffee real quick.
No. So. I just want to be Tanya Turner, darling, from Footballers
Tanya,
Wives.
Tanya Turner.
Tanya Turner, darling. She's back
I
on.
I want a bit of an Irish accent or something a bit northern.
Welcome back from London.
Hi. I finally have my head back on my shoulders. It took like 2 days to get it sort of back together. And I'm still a little loopy, but...
Well, tell us, did you have a great time? I know you were there for work, but did you get to do some pleasure? Did you get to...
The pleasure that I had. Can I just tell you?
Oh, dear.
No, it was so delightful. I had just a wonderful time in the office. The project that we did, it took off. It went great. Everything
and you had an
nice.
Expense account, which is always
I
nice.
I did. It was
because it's so freaking expensive over there
oh,
in London.
Oh, my God.
If you're a British listener, I really want to come over there, but I need a sponsor.
Absolutely.
I need a sponsor to come to London.
You know, that $8 lunch is $16 over there.
Everything's
really.
Double.
Yeah, everything is double. It's quite frightening.
The hell?
Especially at Harrod's when you... No wonder the Beckhams are
coming to America, their wealth is going to double like in the snap of a finger.
They're going to be twice as rich when they get here. Absolutely. It was just so wonderful, but I was traveling with my coworker Karen, and she is such an adventurous spirit that we would literally, what we were only like 5 minutes from the office, our hotel room, so we would almost run back to our hotel room, put our jeans and, you know, gym shoes on and run out. And we walked around London for almost 4 hours every single day.
Wow.
So we saw, like, if you look at London and you put like a big target on it, zone one is in the center.
Yep.
Because that's how the tube goes by based on which zone you travel to. So zone one is mostly central London. So we went everywhere. We went to the Victoria and Albert Museum. We went to the British Museum. We went on the London Eye. We did the South Bank. We went to Parliament. We saw Big Ben. We saw 10 Downing Street. We did everything you can do in central London. We went to Camden Market. We went to Camden Town. We went to Old Broad Street. We walked. It was just amazing. And we ate from one end of town to the other.
How was the food? I've never been to London.
Amazing.
So. Yeah?
Amazing.
Good
amazing.
Food.
Pub food is pub food, so yeah. fish and chips.
Right.
Would you like garden peas or mushy peas? Always ask for garden peas because mushy peas aren't very good.
Yep.
But the food was really good. It was very international. They got rid of all the pasta. Pasta used to be a huge, it was very, very popular when I was there in 99 to do the Italian thing. Pasta is almost non-existent. There aren't a lot of pasta places. What you're seeing now is sushi everywhere you can go.
Really?
And there's a wonderful chain of restaurants. I think there's three of them. It's called Shish, and it's upscale kebabs.
Oh, wow.
Because kebab is very traditional, you know, food, street food there, but it's really lovely. It's just, it's
now, did
so
you go
lovely.
To Covent Garden or the West End or all of that?
Oh, yeah. Everything. Now, Piccadilly,
did you see,
Trafalgar, everywhere.
Did
we
you
went
see
everywhere.
The big posters for Bad Girls, the musical, which is coming to the West End?
The Tube is absolutely drenched in them.
Ah!
It's, you know, like here we have...
Who's my sponsor? Who is taking me to London?
Seriously. Here we have one poster in the wall in London. So you remember, you've heard of like a poster size called like London subway poster, right?
Yeah.
That big size. No, they're about seven times the size of them now. It is the entire wall of the side of the subway. Plus, when you're riding the escalators, because you have a long ride, the tube is pretty deep in most parts.
Uh-huh.
So when you're riding the escalator, you're passing maybe 30 or 40 small signs.
Oh, wow.
So it, the walls are just, I have pictures, I'll show you. It's lovely. Y'all can check from radiopeter.com. My whole, every single day I was there, I blogged about it. And every single day I was there, I blogged with pictures about it. So I'm
well,
up to like day three or four.
You didn't let me know that. So now I'll just have to go back and
you have to go back
you.
And forth and see London day one, day two, day three. But honestly, it was such a lovely time. We ate so well. We met so many amazing people. And now being older and wiser from the last trip that I went, yep. I really, really enjoyed it.
So how was the queer scene? What was the queer vibe?
Did you tap into it?
You didn't?
No, I didn't. I didn't because... We were there, number one, on business. But number two, the sort of the climax of our business didn't happen until near the end
pun
of the
intended.
Trip. Right, pun intended. Didn't happen until the end of the trip. So I really had to stay focused.
Yeah.
And we were basically going to bed at 10 o'clock.
But is there a
neighborhood huge.
Nexus, or is it just kind of spread out? Or what was your feel on that?
There are many different spots. Mostly, like, when you go to Piccadilly, and then you walk over...
Which is so funny. Piccadilly is the gay area.
There's it's not the gay area, but it's the more traditional of the gay area, where there's more gay bars. I mean, we went past GAY, which is the huge, big mega club there. We went past this place called 79. And there were definitely... I mean, I got cruised all the time in London. Let me tell you, on the tube, oh, those boys are cruisy. They are just like looking at you and winking and scratching
and
themselves.
And is it true? I mean, do you feel like the population over there, is it becoming less kind of white and pasty and non-healthy looking?
Well,
or is it very British still? Or is it looking more...
London, I mean, that's a...
Are they being influenced by California like the rest of the world, I guess,
no,
is what I'm asking.
I mean, that's not London, though. London's never been that way. Maybe other parts of the UK are like that, but London is very international. We're talking from burqa to Zulu with the puka beads and the crazy skirt. I mean, it is seriously very, very cosmopolitan and international. I don't know why I didn't see it the last time I was there, although I knew it was this international, but it's more diverse than Chicago, which is, for me, saying that is a lot.
Yeah.
And you're right next to Europe and you're right next to everything. So you really do see seeing women in burqas, number one, freaked me the fuck out. It was strange. It was
you
don't see women in burqas with nothing. The only thing showing is their eyes.
I do. And
I don't see women
in
burqas.
I do in my neighborhood.
I see women with their heads wrapped.
I see it like all the way up to the eyes, face totally covered. Just
really?
saw it last week.
Forehead
walking to
or
the
no? No forehead.
Not much of a forehead in black.
Yeah.
I just saw a woman last week.
I never really see that, but seeing women in burqas with their sunglasses on was just strange to me. It was a little eerie.
Yeah.
And then seeing their husbands who were hot was even eerier.
Well, speaking of sunglasses and hot husbands, as you were invading London, the Beckhams were invading the Americas. And I have to say, okay, my lovely girlfriend, Kelly, you know, we had the TiVo, and she was so proud of herself because she came up to me last week while you were gone, and she said, I've put something in the queue for you to tape. And I was like, what is it? She said, it's Victoria Beckham comes to America. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited because I love Victoria Beckham because I love the footballers' wives, and I just love that whole thing, you know, and I think he's beautiful. And but I was really scared to watch it because I was terrified that she was going to be an idiot and then she was going to come instantly unattractive to me, and I didn't want her to. And I have to say that vote is that she is savagely dry, comically sharp, very funny. And I loved it when she said that she has to be the funny one because he's the pretty one.
Right.
And and then when you were talking about there was a moment where they were buying Lionel Richie's house in California, and that the realtor was saying, you know, that Lionel Richie himself took all the tile flooring out of the den and replaced it with the parquet floors. And she said, oh, well, he was dancing on the ceiling.
Right.
And it was like a Dennis Miller joke. It took me a three count. Then I laughed hilariously and I was pausing it and laughing. And I'm so sad that is not going to be a reality series.
I know.
And we're watching other shit. But I wonder.
He is having his own. So we'll get lots of her through him.
I am pissed off. I want her to have her
own.
I do too. Because I Loved her.
It's only a matter of time.
Much. But if you've not seen it, and you can TiVo or DVR or whatever, if you haven't seen it, it's like a 2-hour special. Victoria Beckham.
No, it's an hour.
Victoria Beckham Comes to America. Yeah. Well, it feels it's like longer because it's awesome.
I'm sure I disturbed all of my neighbors in the hotel because I was absolutely screaming. I stayed up much too late one night to watch, and I watched the whole thing. And
brilliant.
I was screaming. It was so good. It was
brilliant.
So good. Just the driving and everything. And then her assistant, and when she tries not to call her assistant fat, but she just calls her fat. And it was just, the woman who's shrieking like a dolphin just amazed me.
Oh, the Beverly Hills socialites.
Oh my God. They were amazing.
Did you see Marla Maples was one of them?
I know.
A lot of people didn't recognize.
No,
her.
I saw her.
She looked really pretty, and everybody else looked really freaky.
Right, and all she could say was, "They were so major,
major."
I mean, so
she had a major blowout.
Major.
That was my favorite when the with the woman in
so
the
so major. Oh my God, they were
everything
so
was major.
Major.
Kelly was and I've been brilliant. Saying major like all week.
Yeah, it stuck
it's
with
like,
me.
It's our favorite thing. I make it a T-shirt that says "So
you got
major."
You got to. So it, the funniest thing is, like, I learned some new British speak when I was there that I didn't know.
Give it to me.
So if you're at because we ate at McDonald's once. So if you're at McDonald's and is it eat in or take away?
Eat in or take away?
Right.
I
is
like
it
that.
Eat in or take away? Is it for here to go? And when you're a little
dining
drunk,
in or eating out, right. As Madonna used to say,
you can eat all you want, no get fat. If you're walking down the streets of London, you don't see for rent signs. You see to let.
Oh.
But the problem is when you're drunk and you're walking around, you're like, right, why does it say toilet everywhere? Because it looks just like toilet. So that was kind of funny. You know, Pup round. I'll pop round to see you later.
Oh, pup round.
Pop round to see you later.
Or
come through this way. Not this way. You don't have to be walking through anything. It doesn't matter if you're walking through or not.
Interesting.
Come through. This way. Please come through. In fact, she says that to her assistant when her assistant first comes to the house.
Oh.
Come on through.
Oh, nice.
That's a big one. What was the other one? There was another one. And I've lost it now. It's gone. But anyway.
Well, you'll just keep peppering them through the shows in the upcoming weeks.
As I remember them. So on a sad note, I was so sad to find this out on foreign soil. I felt that I needed to, I don't know, go to a graveyard or something or go to a church and pray. Because Tammy Faye passed away.
She did. Very sad.
I hope it was really peaceful because I know I saw the Larry King and I was actually bawling when I saw that.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
It was very hard to watch. But
interesting that it seemed like she knew that this was her end and she called them and that whole thing up, and I'm so happy that she is now in a better place.
Yeah,
and
she had just such wonderful quotes.
Yeah,
from that whole thing.
Well, and she was beloved by the gay and lesbian community for many, many, many reasons. But as she said, you know, they stayed with her, and she stayed with them. And you know, I think it's always been a really big thing when these type of Christian role models have reached out to the gay and lesbian community, and her son's whole big revolution ministry, you know, has also lost a lot of support because they've been very gay affirming and, you know, now have very renegade services in Brooklyn. Mm. And so very, very, very sad. And she will be greatly missed in our community.
I don't know that we'll canonize her yet, but or beatify her yet.
Exactly.
But yeah, she's definitely. It was a sad story, but it was also a happy story because now she's at peace. So in other good news, though, yet another thing that just happened to me. So I got back in town, head's a little loopy, and I hear that the Whole Foods down the way is opening. Listen to me.
Down the way, very good, very British.
Down the way is opening up. So I popped in there.
Popped in.
It was major. It was simply lovely.
It was a major experience.
Super busy, but really nice that finally there's a Whole Foods within walking distance to me, which I love.
Yeah, but at the basis of the Gay and Lesbian Center on Halsted that you may have heard us talk about if you're not in the Chicago area.
Really nice, chock full of stuff. Shelves are close in typical Whole Foods fashion.
And beautiful, and colorful.
Yeah.
Makes you feel good about food.
The hot food bar is wonderful. There's a lot of great stuff in there. So go check it out. That was a shameless plug for Whole Foods, but I like them and I bought some good stuff there. So,
well, speaking of food, our guest tonight is the star of Eating Out 2.
Segway.
Yeah, it was a really good one. I just figured I'd jump on in because I thought of that in my brain.
Do it to it.
Jim Ferraro. So you remember him as the out contestant. He wasn't actually out the this first season of American Idol, but very quickly came out in the Advocate. Jim was beloved because of his signing and his deaf parents in season one, also just kind of his cute boyish appeal and charm. And now he has really grown up, and they have launched the new DVD of Eating Out 2. And we have Jim, that Jerry Potter actually sat down with him to interview him while we were kind of out of town and out of pocket. And coming through
out of the country,
hanging out with the Piccadillys. So Jim Ferraro's on the show. Plus, we've got a lot of news and much, much more.
Yeah.
And this week, there's just so much to talk about. So we hope you'll keep tuning into to our shows this week. It's just lots to dish.
So folks, we'll be right back after this.
The overture begins. The music swells. You're swept away to the Piazza Michelangelo. To discover the light in the piazza. Broadway's most romantic new musical in years and the winner of six 2005 Tony Awards. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian, and it begins. The passion, the romance, Broadway's ultimate love story, The Light in the Piazza. Critics have hailed it a must-see, a consummate work of beauty, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now let it win your heart. The Light in the Piazza.
This romantic new musical is now playing at the Auditorium Theater through July 22nd. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk. Or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly, you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob, all in spectacular shades of green.
Green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest with a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker. Because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 23rd, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Looking Glass Alice is playing now at its home at Looking Glass Theater Company in the Water Tower Waterworks after an East Coast tour. Adapted by David Catlin from Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, Looking Glass Alice is an acrobatic and dizzyingly playful show for all ages. Variety called it extraordinary. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Northwestern University presents three new musical theater events at its Summer Music Theater Festival. The festival's featured musical, In the Bubble, directed by Michael Greif, director of Rent on Broadway, is playing July 27th through August 12th. Don't miss this funny and touching coming-of-age story that captures the pull between safety and growth and the risks that accompany change. To get started, only $25. Call 847-491-7282 or visit tic.northwestern.edu.
Hey, pigs! The love goddess Judy Tenuta comes to Chicago for one night only, July 28th at the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway. Buy your tickets now for either the 7 p.m. or the 9:30 p.m. show on the 28th. The love goddess will delight, play accordion, and make you a slave to her world. For tickets to Judy Tenuta, call 773-472-3492 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com. And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In the U.S. Senate, the hate crimes bill stalled after Majority Leader Harry Reid attached an Iraq withdrawal measure to it. However, earlier, the White House indicated that a freestanding hate crimes bill would be vetoed.
The Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund and the National Black Justice Coalition are supporting Black gay Democrat Fred Mason III's bid for a seat on Baltimore City Council. Both Mason and Dana Owens are bidding to become the first gay individual to sit on the council. A primary for the 11th District Council seat, which is an open slot, is scheduled scheduled to take place September 11th.
Rhode Island Republican Governor Don Carcieri has vetoed a measure that would make health insurance cover infertility treatments for unmarried couples. He felt that getting rid of the marriage restriction would dramatically increase health care expenses. Democratic Representative Edith Ahayo, who supports same-sex marriage, sponsored the measure.
In Florida, a man who claimed that he was sexually abused by the same priest who allegedly molested former Republican Congressman Mark Foley has settled a lawsuit with the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Miami. The man claimed that the Reverend Anthony Marciaca abused him when he was an altar boy at St. James Church in North Miami.
Gay porn star Ken North has died of a drug overdose at the age of 35. The incident occurred in London on the 4th of July. North, whose real name was Ben Gray, performed in 14 videos for Hot House Entertainment. Recently, he co-hosted the 2007 Grabby Gay Adult Video Awards here in Chicago.
In North Carolina, civilian and military authorities have charged HIV-positive soldier Johnny Lamar Dalton with assault with a deadly weapon, misdemeanor assault, and committing a crime against nature for not telling an 18-year-old male sexual partner about his HIV status. Major Tom Earnhardt of the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg said the military prosecutors are focusing on the alleged offender's act, not his sexual orientation.
In Oregon, Multnomah County Circuit Judge Eric Block has held that two statutes discriminate against families headed by same-sex couples. Block found that allowing married couples certain benefits and privileges while denying those same benefits to same-sex families was biased.
Gay writer Doug Wright of Broadway productions I Am My Own Wife and Grey Gardens will now tackle Disney's The Little Mermaid for Broadway. Yay. The musical from the film will feature songs from the movie plus new tunes written by composer Alan Menken.
Tammy Faye Messner, best known as the mascara-loving former wife of televangelist Jim Baker, passed away July 20th of cancer at age 65. Messner, who initially fought colon cancer a decade ago, suffered as the disease spread to her lungs. A private family service was held July 21st in a private cemetery where her ashes were interred.
The primetime Emmy nominations had The Sopranos leading with 15 nods, while gay-friendly Ugly Betty received 11. Out actor Neil Patrick Harris is nominated for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy for How I Met Your Mother, while also gay actor T.R. Knight received a nod for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama for Grey's Anatomy. It will be a very gay Emmy Yay. Awards. The Emmy Awards will be aired on Fox September 16th.
And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Oh, this is Judy Tenuta, your love goddess! Attention, love slaves of Chicago! I love listening to the Windy City Queercast. It makes me release my eggs! It can happen.
I brought a vision of dreams, like everyone else here. I saw it on TV, and thought it was a mirror. Cars brighter than skylines, billboards brighter than streetlights. Something like a movie screen, not as deep as it seems. Welcome to Hollywood.
Hello, Jim.
Jerry.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. Okay. Great. Let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
Well, so far from what I've read about you and, you know, seeing online and everything, you seem like a really busy guy. How do you handle everything on your plate right now? Like, how is everything going with you?
It's good. You know, I think it's about balance. I don't live in Los Angeles. I live in, you know, Chicago. So I think for me, you know, it just works out the best. I mean, I've got a lot of friends here. My family's here. And I tried the whole, you know, L.A. thing. And to be honest, it just wasn't my cup of tea. And, you know, so I go there to work. And, you know, and then I come home at the end of the day. So, you know, it's right. fine. It works out really, really well. And no one's got to have some fun. You work hard, you play hard, you know.
Right. L.A.'s fun to visit, I think. But
Yeah, totally. And it's just, you know, living there just gave me this really bitter... this bitter taste in my mouth, and I think now I've just, you know, been okay with it because I don't live there, so I get to sort of enjoy it, you know.
So you grew up in Chicago?
I was born in Mount Prospect, Illinois. I lived in Crystal Lake for pretty much all my life.
Okay.
And it's been, you know, it's not the most gay-friendly, you know, area, and what with the constant homophobic, you know, attacks that have happened in the city. You know, it doesn't necessarily have the best reputation, but I guess with me, you know, all I can do is, you know, is try and make, it's to see my career, you know, improve that, you know, it's really not a big deal, and it's only some small part of me, and if it's the most interesting, you know, part about me, then that's lame, you know.
Okay, great.
And that was when, you know, I'd heard about American Idol, and, you know, a friend of mine had listened to some radio promo, and she said, hey, you know, you can like, get a record deal and stuff, and I thought, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, I wasn't really kind of looking to be the next big, you know, Justin Timberlake or anything. I just wanted to go and see what it was all about. You know, and it was the first season, so no one knew what American Idol was.
Sure.
So when I went, there was nobody in line, and I was like, you know, I walked into the hotel, and I was like, am I in the right place? I'm looking for, like, American Idol or something. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're just waiting for more people to show up, right? For, like, more kids to, like, get in line. So it's funny for me to see these, like, you know, arenas filled with people, like, waiting to audition because I didn't have to do that.
Right. That's wild. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, and then the rest is history. You know, I ended up being, you know, ninth in the country. And, you know, we got to put out a record on RCA, and it went gold. And, you know, we went on a 30-city tour. And, you know, performed at the LCD Arena. And it was just, you know, the time of my life.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. Now, now they're doing this American Idol Rewind thing.
It's cool, you know. I mean, it gives us, I think it gives people who've been, you know, more recent fans of, like, you know, Carrie or, you know, other winners of the show. I think after season two, it really started to take off. So I think, it, you know, it's funny because Kelly calls it, like, Ghetto Idol, which is totally what it was. I mean, we didn't have, you know, like, the big sets. It was, like, all cardboard, you know. We were all just, like, you know, having to wear our own clothes. So people were like, ew, you know, we hate their outfits. Well, that's because that's all we had. And, you know, we didn't have the money and stuff. And we were eating, like, Twizzlers and Nutri-Grain bars to get by because that's all they could give us.
It was like a barn. Let's grab a barn and put on a show kind of thing.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, this looks good. You know, let's do it. You know, they were adding things, taking them away, and we just had to go with the flow, you know. So it was cool. And, you know, I mean, you kind of just go with it. I mean, I was 19 at the time, and I was so excited to be a part of everything and not knowing where it would take me. But, you know, it was a great, you know, time.
Yeah, and you've been on Ryan Seacrest's radio show too. Like, so what do you think of him and his whole? He's still doing a lot of things out there.
Yeah, he's kind of you know, he could be arrogant. You know, I'm not gonna lie, but
sure.
He was cool at the time. You know, and that was because this was before America had taken off. You know, so now he's got, you know, the ability to be, you know, kind of snotty, but
right.
I just the only person I really kind of cared for was Paula, and you know, it's sad to see her get so much, you know, flack for being, you know, for appearing to be, you know, drunk or on some sort of, you know, prescription medication.
Right.
But she wasn't like that with us, and, you know, I just saw her in January, and so she was great. You know, she's one of my favorites, and, you know, she's always been there for me, and she's been supportive, and she has my album, and she really loved it, and
cool.
We have, like, a good relationship, and, you know, I just feel like I just don't like the attention that she gets, because it's, you know, she's probably fucking tired.
Yeah. Well, maybe the new reality show is going to help her, you know, kind of
get to know her better.
So.
But, yeah, I mean, it's, Simon's cool, you know, on camera. He's different than he is off camera. I mean, he is the show, and if we had three Paula Abduls, it really wouldn't do very well.
Sure. Well, true. Very, very true. Now, so you have this new CD, Roller Coaster.
Yeah, so that came out, well, actually, it's not quite new, but it came out in April of 2005.
Okay.
And I'm working on my follow-up to that. Hopefully, it'll be out in January of 2008.
So it's your newest CD. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'd read. Okay. And then you're doing a bridal expo thing?
Oh, that was
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm just reading, like, you know, past things that you've done on the web.
No, yeah, and there's done Eating Out, you know, and Eating Out 2, which is out on DVD, and then I'll be making an appearance with Mink Stole.
Yes.
Borders Bookstore on the 28th. So that'll be fun, because she's really cool, and, you know, her having such an icon, you know, especially in, like, the gay independent film circuit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's just revered as this, you know, great comedic actress, and to have her play my mother was such an honor, you know. She was great, you know, and was giving me a lot of really sweet compliments. So I'm just looking forward to seeing her again and hanging out and meeting some people who are fans of film. You know?
So do you think she's different than her persona? Like, you know, she comes across as this crazy lady in all these movies and stuff.
Yeah, but she does it so well, you know.
I know.
It's like, why not, you know, why not let her, you know, keep doing it? If it ain't broken, don't fix it, you know. She's really, you know, she's definitely different. You know, I know that she had a tough time, you know, with, you know, if you remember
Does she live in Chicago?
I think she's in L.A. So she's just coming out to do the autograph signing.
Oh, that's really cool that she's doing that.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there's going to be a part three?
You know, it's funny. Like, when we did the first film, you know, and we shot both of these movies, Eating Out 1 and 2, in 10 days. So they were very quick shoots, and it was kind of funny because the first one sort of took off, and we weren't expecting it to at all. I mean, our budget was $50,000, you know, it was just like thrown together sort of, and I just read the script and thought it was hilarious, but it ended up being this sort of runaway hit, you know, and we developed this big cult following and ended up selling like 60 or 70,000 copies of the DVD, which is great for like a gay indie, you know. So then people were talking, you know, if we do a sequel, you know, we should just call it Eating Out 2 Sloppy Seconds, and we're all like, ha ha ha, that's funny, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, we did, and then the script came to me, and they were like, yeah, we want you back as Kyle, and I'm like, okay, yeah, of course, you know, and the script is genius, and I just thought, you know, this would be great, because I'm kind of a little bit more in the forefront, and I get more room to, like, play, and, you know, be funny, so... who knows? You know, I know that the director like made some kind of funny comment about calling it Menage a Twat, you know, like Eating Out 3 or something. But I think it would be kind of interesting to, you know, have like a Kyle goes to boot camp thing and he falls in love with some military dude and don't ask, don't tell. I think that would be kind of hilarious to see like this, you know, really sort of sassy, bitchy, flaming character, you know, trying to do like 50 push-ups because he was mouthing off to like, you know, some drill sergeant. But who knows? You know?
Should be writing these.
I know.
You could be a writer.
It's just, you never know. I mean, it depends on the success, you know, of this film. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to doing it, but it just depends. You know?
Right. So what's next for you? What's your next thing? Because you've done singing, you've done acting. What's going on? Do you want something else that you've not done, you know, that you want to try? Or
for you? I think just... I thought about doing Broadway for a bit, and, you know, I guess it just comes down to, like, the right project. I mean, I'm not really, like, the carousel type or, you know, the HMS Pinafore thing, so, you know, I don't do the whole dated, you know, Broadway stuff, but, like, maybe, like, a more current, like, musical, you know, maybe Hairspray would be fun to do,
right.
or
something fun.
Or Rent, you know?
Right, or something like Avenue Q would be fun.
Right, yeah, that would
something
be
like that.
I think a bit more, recent, a bit more hip and stuff.
Yeah, that would be
good. But I just hope to just kind of keep growing, you know, I've set on to do two more films. I'm shooting a sort of darker kind of romantic story. We're shooting in L.A., and that's basically based on this character that is big into cocaine, which is nice because, well, it's not, but, I mean, it's a different, you know, sort of role that I'm used to playing, and that's kind of what I've been hoping to do.
Sure.
And he falls in love with this, you know, waiter, this, you know, starving actor, and, you know, it's basically the tale of how, you know, two guys who are complete opposites end up being kind of similar, and it's a story of heartbreak and coming out to your rich family who cuts you off and leaves you with nothing, and what a person's willing to do for love, basically. And I just thought, you know, it's a nice script because there's no gratuitous nudity or, you know, like I don't have to do a dick shot or anything, so that's always good.
Yeah.
But, so I've got that, and I'm shooting a musical in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in March of next year.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, so that'll be really exciting. I've never been, and it should be fun.
Now, you're one of my friends on MySpace. How can people get more information about you? Is it should they get onto MySpace, or where do you have, like, a real current website? Because I was getting some of the information from, you know, before, so.
Yeah, I mean, they can go to, like, my official, which is just jimverraros.com, or my MySpace.
Wendy City, you've helped us with our Idol competition. You've been on our 30 Under 30 for Wendy City. We just want to thank you so much for your time today and sticking with us as a company. And we want to continue to support you and come to the signing on Borders. You know, that's 2817 North Clark Street at 2:00 on July 28th. So I hope you have a great turnout for that and continue big success in the future with everything. So
thank you. All of your guys' support and for, you know, considering me for, you know, for the awards and for just thinking of me so highly. So I'm just so grateful to you guys. So I appreciate everything. Make up and cover up all your
insecurities, forget to remember. Beauty's only skin deep, like camera acting press. You should have left.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
It ain't easy, it ain't easy. You gotta work hard to look good.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.